Those of us who are, what do we say, vertically challenged, I actually have a serious wondering from time to time whether, when we get to heaven, whether I'll be 6 foot. You know, I know every sort of like, every pain and all that stuff is gone. I just sort of wonder whether I might get a little more height as well. But anyway, we'll pontificate on that. Excellent. Hey, let me introduce myself to you. My name is Mark Wilkinson. I work at the church in the church health team of the Baptist Union of Victoria, and you're never quite sure when you come to church what people think of the Baptist Union of Victoria. But anyway, we are here nonetheless, and it's good to meet with you. I actually feel like when I come to the Northeast, there is something of my heritage is here. My dad grew up just the other side of Benalla, spent all his sort of formative years, born in Shepparton, spent all his years. We're going back a long time for my dad. He would be 100 next year if he was alive. So we're talking a long time ago, pre-war sort of thing that he grew up and then went off to the war and then came back. Just sort of the other side of Benalla down at Boho South most of the time. I guess a few of you will know where that is. And some of you will even know if I say before that he was at Upoti Podpon that you will know where that is as well. I thought that was an invented name for most of my life. But discovered that it actually... Google it on Google Maps and you can find it out there. I thought I had never been involved with Wangaratta before, but I remembered, went right back into my memory banks, and I did a youth camp for the youth group here at Easter 1986 down at Chess Hunt. And so that's my one connection with personally with this church at that time. So that's where we are. Now, this is my family. There you go. That all works, doesn't it? So does that all work? Yeah, I'm looking up there. I'm hoping that you're looking at the same thing I'm looking at. So that's good. You can see... Oh, sorry, I'm wearing my Geelong Premiership cap. I shouldn't have worn that photo, but I was still in celebratory mode at Christmas last year. And so glad there are a couple of people celebrating with me. Not so much this year, but anyway, we move on, don't we? My wife is next to me there. That's my wife, Lynn, and we've been married for a month short of 38 years. Exactly. Like, we are old, really, aren't we? That's when you say that sort of thing. It's she must have been very young when I married her. You can clearly see she doesn't look that old, but it doesn't look old enough to be someone who's been married 38 years. I do, but not her. And then we have our two children, it's Jesse, our son, who's 19, hates having his photo taken, so it's once a year. So I've got to use this photo for the whole year, and then we'll see how we go at Christmas time. We might get another one. No guarantees, but we'll see what we can do. So so he's 19, and he works full-time for an artificial grass supplier. I always feel a little embarrassed to say that when I'm in the country areas. Artificial grass? Why on earth would you have artificial grass? Well, we city slickers seem to like things like that mean that we do that sort of thing. But anyway, so that's what he does. And so he's 19, going all right. And then our daughter Mia, who's 17, and she's sort of just finished her sort of year 11 exams, but she also did two year 12 subjects as well. So I just said to her, on Friday, she had a year 12 exam. I said, year 12 is one-third done, and she hasn't even sort of started. So that's pretty good. So she can celebrate that. And so it's quite remarkable that a family has this sort of great diversity. My kids are so different. And so that's part of the delight of God, isn't it, that the two parents can have kids who are so different. Hey, as I said, I'm from the Baptist Union of Victoria, and our vision in the BUV, we like to share this when we come to churches, is to be a union of flourishing churches. We want to see every church flourish, and whatever that means for that church in that region. We want to see it flourish with flourishing churches, with Christ-like followers, with people who follow Jesus that redeem society. They're involved in their world, in their community. And so I love the whole idea that your goal here is to bring hope to the Northeast. That's a wonderful aspirational goal. And so those of us who work in the BUV support hub, we used to call the BUV office, but the office is that's a pretty generic name. So now we're the support hub. That's way better. And so our job is to encourage, equip, and empower local churches. And that's what we seek to do. And so Aaron and I have been conversing, and I'm going to meet with your leaders a little bit later on. After lunch, of course, we're going to have lunch, get that sorted out. So that'll be good. And communities of faith to advance God's kingdom. Again, we want to see God's kingdom grow. We want to see more people come into that relationship with Jesus, see their lives change, and see their communities change, see the generations that can be changed as a result of that. And so that's a good thing. Many years ago, I came across this book. This is what I'm going to preach you on today. I came across this book, Your God is Too Small. Has anybody ever read that book? One person's read that book. Two people have read that book. You can get it online for free these days. I can actually Google it and you can get it online. You can read it. Because I've actually never read it. I just love the title though. Just like the title just challenges me so much. And, you know, my connection with this church from way back when I did the youth camp was going on a beach mission with someone from this church. And I remember down at beach mission, we used to sing this kid's song. Now, most of the kids have disappeared, but this kid's song was, I don't know whether you remember this song, but my God is so big, so strong and so mighty. I won't sing. I can't sing at all. But there's nothing my God cannot do. And I just love that. I'm just find this idea is to challenge us today. That is showing our age, isn't it? God is so big. And this prayer that Aaron read for us, I think Paul wants us to understand how big God is and to not place limitations upon God, not place limitations around what we can pray. We're going to unpack this prayer a little bit, and we're going to see that as Paul prays for the Ephesians, there's some big stuff that he's praying for. Now, I think also Aaron has said, I'm picking up into your United series and glad to do that and so on, because just love to sort of link in with whatever a church is doing into that. And so this would be number 6 in the series, I imagine. So I know Aaron and I have already talked a little bit about what you've been doing, and I watched a little bit of the video from the last few weeks, etc. And so the beautiful thing about the book of Ephesians, and it's a wonderful book, and he didn't have to ask me twice to say, are you happy to preach from Ephesians? Absolutely, I'm happy to preach from Ephesians. Preaching it from it many, many times. The thing I love about the book of Ephesians is you get the little clue even in chapter 1, verse 1. If you look very carefully at chapter 1, verse 1, it says there's a letter to the Ephesians. And then if you look really carefully in your Bible, there'll be a little note and a little footnote that points to it. It says, some manuscripts don't have Ephesians. So what's telling us is there were manuscripts that were written, undoubtedly a copy went to Ephesus, but it's sort of like it's a letter that could go to any church. It's not just only for the Ephesians. I mean, Paul spent a whole lot of time with the Ephesians. There's virtually no personal greetings there when you compare it to a book like Romans, where he's hadn't even been there and there was a chapter of greetings, but he loved this Ephesian church. He spent the most amount of time at the Ephesian church of all the churches he visited. And so he loved this church. And so, but there is something about this that we can know this is for us as well. And it's like Paul's praying for us as well. That's an awesome thing as well. You know, I remember back in Adelaide, I had a little time there where I had some Jehovah's Witnesses who were coming to witness to me, you know. And so I thought it'd be interesting, entertaining and fun to sort of engage with them for a season. And I had these guys come, and then eventually I was sort of, I don't know, they must have thought they had a prospect in me, because they then brought back the heavyweights, you know, to sort of, you know, and every question I had, they had an answer for. And it made me think, their view of God actually is pretty small. You know how I said your God's too small? Their God was too small. They could explain everything about their God. There are some mysteries around our God, am I right? Some things that are beyond our comprehension. We're going to explore a little bit of that here today as well. And so the passage begins, for this reason I bow my knee. And I've just highlighted the word this, because when you read something like that, for this reason, you have to say to the text, asks you to say, what reason? He says, for this reason. Well, it's for what reason? It's actually... I think the passage that you preached on last week also starts with that same idea of this reason. Let me just check that. I might be making that up. No, I'm not making that up. chapter 3, verse 1 also begins for this reason. It's like that whole section from verses 2 to 13 is like functions like an interlude, and then Paul comes back to his thinking here for this reason. And the answer is, what reason? Is, well, all that he's spoken about in the last two chapters. All that Aaron spoke of in the first four messages of your series here. All that he's spoken of in chapters 1 and chapter 2. Chapter 1, just a quick reminder of what he's been speaking about, what Ephesians speaks of, how we've been blessed, that God chose us, that God adopted us into family, that Jesus redeemed us, Jesus forgives us, and the Spirit guarantees us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all involved there. And again, all of those things, I'm sure Aaron spent some good time on those things, because all of those things deserve a whole lot of attention as well for what all those things mean for us, and all the theology that's sort of in behind all that, which is an awesome element of that. And then chapter 2, he goes on, he really uses some really strong language in chapter 2 about how we've been made alive in Christ. You know, he uses words like, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions. Some really strong spiritual language of looking back to our pre-salvation spiritual state. We were dead in our transgressions. And then we're made alive in Christ in the beautiful, amazing stuff of verses 8 and 9. But it is by grace you've been saved through faith. Not by your own effort. We can never work our way into heaven. It's only the grace of God, the gift of God that he's given to us. And then a beautiful statement, we're God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. We're saved for a purpose, saved to do something, not just to save and sit, but we're his work of art, that beautiful idea. If ever you think of yourself as a little bit, I don't know, I'm just a bit not that great, well, the scripture calls you God's work of art, his handiwork, his masterpiece. Different translations do it in different ways, but they all add to the richness of the idea of that. That's how God sees you. You might not think that you're that astounding, but God sees you as something beautiful. I was just reminded in my own mind, when I first met my father-in-law, you know, his report back to his daughter after he met me, he said, well, he's not an oil painting, is he? But might not be an oil painting, but I am God's masterpiece. God's masterpiece. And we all have a story to tell of God's work in our lives, and there's so much that we could unpack that further. But then this whole beautiful concept, this is what Paul really wants to emphasize in the second part of chapter 2, how he brought us together, and that was really important in that first century for the Jew and Gentile to be brought together into one family. And how important that is that we understand that, being brought together into one family. You know, if you project forward to the, you know, so we've been singing songs from the book of Revelation, when you project forward, the heavenly vision of Revelation 7 is people worshipping from every tribe and language gathered around the throne worshipping Jesus. Every tribe and language. Every tribe and language. I was way too much of my time thinking that we're going to sing in English in heaven. And for many years of my life, I sort of tended to think of just, you're so narrow. But I live in the western suburbs of Melbourne, very multicultural area, and the church that I was a part of had up to 50 different nationalities in the church. I felt like we had a foretaste of heaven every week. And we had that. A couple of times a year we would wander around and see how many different languages we could find in the place. And we would get 20 plus languages into that space. So this foretaste of heaven, or gathered around the throne, worshipping Jesus, women and men from every generation, from every tribe and nation. And he said, so that it's all that. For this reason, he kneels before. Because all that God has done for us, he is wanting to, he kneels before the Lord and in prayer. And then he prays. And he prays for us. And his prayer points are important. And look, I'm not going to be able to even look at all these prayer points. because there's so many prayer points that are in there, and to give them some justice. But I just pick out a few different highlights there, and I picked out this one, that you might be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being. That we might be strengthened by, that we might know the power, we might be strengthened by the power of His Holy Spirit within us. Power in our inner being. Power to live as children of God. You can't live as Christ followers in your own strength. Can't be done. Can't be done consistently. Because we're not in heaven yet. We need the power. We need God's power to be at work in us. And He's provided that. The Holy Spirit is there to guarantee us in that power to live as a Jesus follower. A car without petrol has no power. A car without petrol is powerless. And the only way you can move it is by a hang of a lot of effort. A car without petrol, I live in the western suburbs of Melbourne, I told you that. And so we have lots of cars that go across the Westgate Bridge. And a couple of times a month, I have to go across the Westgate Bridge to go and to go to the BUV support hub. Don't have to go any more than a couple of times a month. Praise Jesus for that. But if a car runs out of petrol on that bridge, it's chaos for thousands of people. A car without petrol is just in the way. So it is that we need the power that is within, that is provided for us, power to overcome, power to witness. The initial reason the Holy Spirit was given was so that we would be His witnesses and projecting forward, a couple of chapters forward, without taking away from what Aaron will speak about in a few weeks' time. The whole idea in chapter 5 verse 18 is that we are to be, keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled and keep on being filled. It's an ongoing thing. We need to keep on being filled. Just like we need to fill our car with fuel, we need to so be filled with the Holy Spirit. And Paul prays then that we'd know the breadth, length, height, and depth. I love that. It's like the four-dimensional love of God, love of Christ. It's not only, breadth, length, and height. It's depth. It's intensity. How great the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are, says John, writing to believers. How great is the love the Father has given to us. Huge amount of love that He's given to us, that we should be called children of God. As I say, we got adopted into family. That means we're brothers and sisters. Sometimes that's a challenge. Sometimes family life is a challenge, isn't it? And that could be in the natural and that could be in the spiritual as well. But what a privilege it is to be adopted in the family, to receive the inheritance of all that. And then I love this extra element that comes into this passage. It's an awesome element to that. That we may have strength to comprehend with all the saints. In other words, we can't know this by ourselves. It's good for us to read the scriptures day by day, and it's good for us to be thinking about our faith individually day by day. But of course, this letter is written to the church, written to a group of people. And so we can only have the strength to comprehend with all the saints. How does that work? Well, I'll tell you some stories about God's work in my life, and God's intervention, and how I've come to know the love of Christ. And then you tell me some of your stories about that, and how God has provided for you. Just even before the service, I met Heather, and Heather told me about how God provided for them to come up to here, into this area. And she's full of a story to be able to tell me of God's goodness and grace in that. And I'm blessed by that. But even before, sorry, Heather, I did promise that I would, I'm not sorry, because I'm glad that you told me that story. And it illustrates my point. As you share your story, as I share my story, we're all blessed, yeah? We're all blessed. We all get to know further about the love of Christ. We can comprehend it together. That's the beauty of church, the beauty of this together. We need to hear stories and testimonies of our experience of the love of God. to hear about the bigness of God. And we sing a song like, "How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God." You know that song? That song is actually designed, it's very much a congregational song, and it's like, we shouldn't actually look at the screen when we sing that song. We actually should look at each other. Because we say, "Sing with me, how great is our God." We're singing to each other about, "Hey, how great is our God?" The next time you sing that song, just a little look around. Everybody will think you're weird, but that's okay. You're actually singing the song properly, is my contention. "Hey, sing with me." And it's all the more, actually, because there might be some days where it's hard for you to sing. It's hard for you to sing about how great God is. There'll be some challenges now. We're not in heaven yet, so there's some imperfections here on earth. Some things that will make it more difficult for us, that get us down. And so that's all the more. One of the things that happens, sometimes when we're not feeling that great, we stay at home. That's the worst thing you can do. That's the day you need to come to church. I don't know whether anybody thought about this when you looked at my, whether your brains went to this place. But I told you that we'd been married for 38 years. And I also told you my children are 19 and 17. Which means we had a long time to wait before we had children. And that wasn't our intention. We had a major challenge with infertility, which has a happy ending. But there are days in that where life was pretty difficult. And we needed our brothers and sisters to point us to Jesus afresh, to pray for us, to support us, to sing over us even, "How great is our God," when we were still struggling with that. And so we know it together in the company of the saints. That's why it's so important that we gather together in the company of saints. We can share stories together, support one another as families do. And then Paul prays this prayer, which this blows me away, because he prays that we would know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. How do you know something that is beyond knowledge? That feels impossible. And yet Paul prays for it. And if you think that was impossible, how about this? That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That feels pretty big. That's right up there in the sort of the real big categories, isn't it? That we'd be filled to the fullness of God. Paul's got incredible faith to be able to pray a prayer like that. That we would know that which surpasses knowledge. Know that which is impossible to know. That which is too big to know. And yet Paul prays it because he wants to keep elevating it. You know, you think you know stuff about God? Well, wait, there's more. Wait, there's more. I've been following Jesus for next month 47 years. I'm sure some of you can go longer than 47 years as well. Yeah? Anybody been following Jesus longer than 47 years? A few people. Or a few people are willing to put up their hand anyway. Yeah, well, I'm 61. I started following Jesus when I was about 14. Year 9 was important. But we have more to learn. And then Paul adds, just to sort of add, to go further again, he adds more in his little doxology here that's at the end of this prayer. "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think." Just again, I want you to pause on that idea. Able to do more abundantly than all we ask or think. Like whatever, that means whatever prayer you think is too big to pray, you can ask God and he can do it. And he can do not only that, he can do more. More, immeasurably more, abundantly more than all we ask or think. Again, Paul really wanting to elevate the view of God. What's your view of God? Is your God too small? Paul wants to say. Wow. He's able to, who is able to do far more than we can ever ask or imagine. I did a little word study on this idea of the phrase of he is able. I mean, it's just, I'll just give you four scriptures that I, that come from that. Daniel chapter 3, verse 17. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say that if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us, and he will rescue us from your hand, O King. And then he actually goes on to say, and if he doesn't, well, we're still not going to bow down and worship the foreign gods anyway. They're supremely confident that he's able to, but even if he doesn't, we're still going to worship. He is able to save us. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, and God is able to make all grace. How much grace? All grace. All grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, there's a bit of an all theme goes on in this verse, does it? All grace, all things, all times, all that you need, you'll abound in every good work. If God asks something of you that feels impossible, he's able to do it. Change tack, Hebrews 2:18, because he himself, speaking of Jesus, suffered when he was tempted. He is able to help those who are being tempted. Which means, like us, for instance. Because we all get tempted. We all get tempted to sin. We all get tempted to not follow in Jesus' ways. We're not in heaven yet, so we're all still tempted in that way. But Jesus, what is he able to? He's able to help you. He's able to meet you in that place. Cry out to him in that place because he's able to help you. And then Jude 24, again a doxology, to him who is able to keep you from falling. We can continue on in our faith because he's able to keep us before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. That's not an exhaustive list by any stretch. That's just a few edited highlights there. We want to sort of get into it, then actually look at that stuff. There's wonderful tools these days. I used to have a thing, you know, I used to look this stuff in a book. Now it's just all on the internet. Hallelujah. A concordance. I've still got my concordance. It's a fantastic doorstop these days. Concordance for young players is like a really big sort of encyclopedia book with all the words in the Bible and all the places where it was actually written in the Bible. As I say, all you need to do these days is just Google Bible, he is able, and you'll get the full list. But he's able to do that. He's able to do immeasurably more. Whatever you've been praying about, God can do more, immeasurably more. Whatever you dare to imagine God doing in your life and in your church, he can do more. Another kids song. Again, I'm an old man. Anybody remember the song called He's Able? One person admits to it. I'm not going to sing it, but the words were He's Able. He's Able. I know He's Able. He's able to carry you through. He heals the brokenhearted, sets the captives free, makes the lame to walk again, and the blind to see. Picking up the life of Jesus. He's able, he's able. I know he's able. Paul wants us in this prayer to raise our vision of God. He's praying, he was praying, he prays that we will have a greater vision of God than what we have already. He wants to elevate our view of God. What's going on in your world? In your world, in your family life, in your church life, where you need to raise your view of God. That he can do immeasurably more, abundantly more than all we ask or think. I want to suggest to you that that's pretty awesome. I want to suggest to you that God is able to do that all the more. Is there areas in your life where you're trusting him to do something beyond the capacity Well, he can do immeasurably more. Can I pray for you? Father God, I thank you. I thank you for your word to us. I thank you that you are able to do far abundantly, far more abundantly than all we ask or think, immeasurably more than all we ask or think. Thank you that your capacity is so great. Lord, forgive us when we make you smaller by our lives and the way that we act as if things are too hard for you, that things are impossible for you to do. I thank you, you are able to do immeasurably more. Lord, I pray for your saints who are gathered here today. Lord, thank you that there will be so many have a testimony of what you've done for them, and if we who'd be able to add to what you've done, and we'd be adding to each other's bank of resources and bank of knowledge. Thank you for what you've done in this church over a long period of time and what you've done in the most recent years. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing. We bless you, Lord. We thank you. Would you lead us and guide us and empower us by your Holy Spirit? Would you lead and guide and empower this church by your Holy Spirit to be all that you have for them? And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Blessings.